Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This. The words.
All right, everybody. Episode number 84 of Live and In Your Ear, man, doing it big on the lunchtime hour, man. So if you are anywhere out there getting your work day on and taking that lunch break or about to, man, come join us today on War of the Words. We are officially 1 week away from Conflict 25, March 10th at Club Label. We have a great show for you stacked up today. We have Moose and Corbry on, who is in the co-main event, taking on Chris Kane. We had Chris Kane on earlier in the week, talk about this fight and his preparedness for it. And it's going to be this fight could very easily be, the main event. You could very easily flip the two around. It's been almost a year to the day since we last had Mr. Corbry on our show. He was fighting at Havoc 3 at the time. So here we are as he is a part of the big move, Conflict's first venture into North Carolina in Charlotte, man. It is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And, when you got guys like Corbry on the card, how could it not be? So, we got a lot to talk about today, a lot to get into, man. So we're going to go ahead and bring him on, Mr. Corbry. Mooshin, how you doing today, sir?
What's going on, brother? How's life, man?
Life is good, man. Life is good. I get to somehow I've been blessed to get to do this in my, every day just about. I couldn't be doing any better today, man. How about yourself?
I can't complain, man. Training camp has been phenomenal. I'm in phenomenal shape, man, and I'm just ready to get back in there and get to work.
Absolutely. One of the first things that I definitely wanted to ask you, and this was just kind of because I follow your fight career and stuff. Now, unless I'm mistaken, when I last saw you fought Rand Weathers, was that a 145 fight and this one's 155, or were they both 155?
No, that was 145, and my home is 145 now. But North Carolina requires you to weigh in again the next day, and they only allow a 13-pound variance in your weight. So, I gained a lot of weight after I cut down to 45. So there was no way that I could weigh in 13 pounds under the next day. So 55 is a better place for me to be for North Carolina.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting things that that a lot of the fighters have come across in the first conflict venture in North Carolina. I don't think everybody quite realizes that mixed martial arts rules change up from state to state. And I think in Georgia, where you're from, they've just had a lot of they just had some major changes in the rules in your home state and in my home state too, really. In Georgia down there, man, they really do change from border to border.
For sure. And as the sport grows, man, things are going to consistently change. I don't know about the North Carolina rule. I think it's kind of crazy. I say if we're going to have to weigh in the next day, let's just weigh in the next day, and give us that 13 pounds. And that way we only have to cut weight once, But, hey, it's all good, man. I'm prepared for it. I'm ready to rock and roll. So let's do it.
Exactly, man. I can't imagine like being with your, how long you've been a part of the sport and you're kind of a pioneer. I can't imagine that a same day weigh-in is the craziest thing you've come across, man. Exactly, man. You come from that era, just having like three fights in one night. So I'm sure weighing in on the same day is probably no big deal.
Yeah, and understand, I was an amateur boxer. I had a ton of amateur boxing fights. And with that, when you're doing a major tournament, you have to weigh in every single day. So if you're doing a Golden Gloves tournament, you fight, you have to weigh in the next day after you fight, and then fight again, weigh in the next day after you fight again. So, I'm not worried about it at all. I've got a great nutritionist that helps me out, man, and we're going to be able to make the right adjustments to make sure we do everything right.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic. You know, this card, Conflicts, you know, obviously their first foray into a new state and a new city at the same time. I definitely wanted to ask you, number one, how you came to be a part of the card, and number two, how does it feel to be a part of that, you know, first jump into a new geographical area?
Well, I mean, I've been talking to Jared a while, and, you know, it's hard to find fights at this level. And the goal right now, we're really close to getting back in a bigger show, but I've got to fight to do it, man. I've got to get a couple more Ws in order to get to that next level where I want to be. Jared hit me up, said, hey, he's got somebody that would take a fight. Are you down? I was like, yes. It was three weeks out. I was like, hell yeah. I've been in the gym. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do it. So,
I mean, you are one of those guys that pretty much stays ready, from my understanding.
And I'm always in the gym, man. I love doing this. It's all I do. Other than a little bit of schoolwork here and there, but you know, I love training. I like being in the gym. I like camp. Most of the people I know hate camp. They like to fight. I enjoy training. I enjoy watching my body go from fat to fit. You know, and then watching, you know, the changes that you make in camp. So I enjoy the process, man.
I think that's something that you have definitely passed on to some of the guys in your camp. You know, you've got one of the most elite camps down here, you know, even beyond. All the guys that you have that come out just seem to have that same sort of fire and mentality. So, you know, you obviously do an amazing job of passing that on. And you go ahead.
I was going to say, we try to make it fun, man. We want to enjoy training. We want to enjoy learning. And they understand that repetition make you great. So you got to get your reps in. You got to drill. So if you're not in the gym, you're not getting better. So my guys want to be the best.
Speaking of being the best, one of the things that I admire about you, and I kind of wanted to bring up for, you know, everybody listening is, and you spend so much time, I don't even know how you pull all the stuff off at once, but you know, you fight, you train, you run a gym, you're, you know, a head coach, you're, you know, a figurehead in Savannah. You go almost every time I see one of your guys fighting, you're cornering them, if not every single time. And you also have an awesome academic background that you work on that I constantly see. At the same time, man, how the hell do you put all this in one 24-hour block every day?
Well, I mean, most people have more free time than they realize. You know, every hour in my day is planned out. You know, I have training times, I have study time. Every second of my day is planned. If not, what I'm going to be playing on Facebook? You know what I'm saying? So I don't like that downtime. I always want to be productive. Always want to be moving forward. Whether it's training. Just getting academically stronger, you know, gaining some knowledge so I can, you know, make some changes, you know. I always want to be moving and doing something. And so pretty much from the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night, I'm doing something. My day is planned.
That's awesome. You know, I feel like you should make a new profile picture where you're, like, reading a law book in your hand while, like, kicking the crap out of a heavy bag at the same time.
You got to do what I got to do. When I have a test coming up, you know, sometimes I got to get my kicking in while I'm reading my tort law book.
Exactly, which congrats, man. I saw you on Facebook the other day. You got a new big old set. I imagine that would be pretty awesome being a guy that, you know, loves to enhance my own academia. There's nothing like getting a new set of books.
Oh, for sure. And you know, it's just the process of learning and being involved in something I enjoy. Because, you know, I enjoy the law, and I enjoy understanding what I can and can't do and what crooked police officers can and cannot do to me. You know, I enjoy having that knowledge because knowledge is power. If you know what can and can't be done to you, you know what your rights are, then you know how to, you know, stop somebody from taking advantage of you.
Absolutely. What you know, well said, and I definitely always enjoy. You always put good stuff in that newsfeed as far as that stuff goes. You know, most of the time it's all just fighting, and I always enjoy like, oh, here's a Corbry post. I got to check and see what's going on today. Something yeah. crazy's happening.
Exactly.
You know,
somebody starts on Facebook. You know,
that's right. That's right, man. You keep keep it aware.
My thing is, I like to spark conversation because unless we talk about these things, we'll never come to a happy medium. You know, we'll never understand each other until we talk about each side of an issue. And you know, even if it gets a little, do we yell at each other, calling each other names sometimes? I try to keep that off the thread, but you know, it happens. But at the end of the day, it's making you look at the issue. You know, and that's why, you know, I post more controversial stuff, you know, get people to talk, get people to actually look at things.
I've done some of that stuff myself in the past. When I was younger, I used to take the opposite side, you know, like I was having a conversation with my parents, they'd be like, why are you so confrontational? I'd say, you know, I'm not being confrontational. I'm just trying to get you to think about the other side of it. I'm not even necessarily believing
exactly.
the other side. I'm just trying to put it into the conversation.
For
just
sure.
so you think,
for sure.
you know? So I applaud,
and
definitely
the thing
applaud
is, you know,
that, man.
You know, I'm looking for that person that can prove me wrong. They can, you know, make my issue. If I'm saying something from a certain stance, tell me your side. Convince me that I'm wrong. Because I'm trying to learn, you know? I'm always trying to learn.
Absolutely.
But if you have another perspective, it can definitely help my growth.
Exactly. You know, I think there's an old, I'm paraphrasing the old quote, but it's like, you know, when I receive new information, I change my ideas about the world. What do you do when you receive it?
Yeah,
sure. I think that applies. Absolutely, man. Well, you know, something I definitely want to ask, I've been asking everybody about this, and, you know, I know you've been fighting a long time, but have you ever fought on a Tuesday?
I think I've done a Wednesday before. I don't think I've ever done a Tuesday. this is going to be new territory for me.
Yeah,
but
I thought
the
Tuesday was
interesting. You know, yeah, I don't work a 9-to-5, man, so I create my own hours. So whatever day I want could be the weekend. So, you know,
Tuesday's
fine.
It's going to be the weekend in the middle of the week. I'm also pretty excited. I heard that Club Label is a pretty happening spot, and that Tuesdays are just the same as Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday there. So I'm excited to
That's
get
awesome.
To the club. Have you? Yeah.
I
have not been to. Me too, man. I have not been to this place yet, but it looks like a very happening spot. They had some big. Big names just in this week alone. I went to check it out a little bit. I think Lil Wayne and some other guys had were there this week. So, you know, it's obviously a spot that's garnering big performances. So that's going to be pretty awesome to fight inside
for
Club
sure,
Label,
for sure.
man. Next up, you know, it's been almost a year to the day. I saw this just before we came on, since the last time you and I had a chance to get on the show together, almost to the day, like a few days off from last time we spoke about Havoc, which is the best fight memory that I have in my entire existence in MMA is that night with you. Best story ever. I tell it all the freaking time. And I'm sure you know that. It was the best. I believe you were fighting Van Weathers when we talked through the cage during the commentary while you were beating him up.
Well, you know, that's the thing, man. You know, this will be my 51st professional fight. That, you know, that's between boxing, Muay Thai, and MMA. And, you know, there's a little more comfort I get in there, man. I enjoy the process. I enjoy the fight. And that, like, a lot of people fear it. You know, of course you have your nerves. You want to perform well. But, man, I'm at home in there. It's where I want to be. You know, and I hate it that I can't fight more, and that's why I'm looking forward to signing a contract soon with the big leagues again, so I can get consistent fights, man. I love being in there. I love it. I love the process. I love fighting, and man, it's a level of comfort in there, man. So if I hear everything that's going on. When you were talking, I heard you talking. Thought I would respond, man. I can't let, you know, to make sure everybody knows what's going on. So I was there to help you out, make sure you got the right information.
It was beautiful. I think you corrected me live about how you had got cut or something to that nature. It was fantastic. You're like, nah, man, it wasn't that. It's this, and I'm fine. And you're like punching the guy who's like under you. You're looking at me through the cage like, ah, nah, man, I'm straight. No problem. Just a little blood. You'll be fine. I'm going to end this here in a minute. It's awesome. It was good, man. And it kind of brings out exactly what you're talking about, that comfortable nature. And two, your ability to hear all what's going on. You know, most guys, they barely can hear their coach or their tune in just to hear that. And the fact that you're mid-fight screaming havoc, Savannah fans, you know, they get with it. And yet you picked me out talking into a microphone. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
It's a good time, man. And the thing is, when I fight, I know we're there for the crowd. This is, you know, it's a combat sport, but this is a viewer sport. They're there to get a show. And I'm not trying to make it, you know, I'm not trying to fight boring. You know, you'll never see me ever take a shot, ever. Go look through my highlight reel. I don't take shots. There's no reason to. You know, if you want to go to the ground, we'll go to the ground. I'll counter throw you. But, you know, I'm trying to bang, man. I'm trying to do what the fans want to see. So, you know, somebody told me they listened to our Chris Kane's interview, and they said that he is not planning on shooting, that he's going to plant his feet. By all means, let's do it. Let's talk the show to the crowd. Let's stand there. Let's bang. Let's see who's standing at the end of it. And at the end of the day, the crowd's going to be, you know, they're going to be the winner.
Man, well said. And I was going to bring that up, that Chris said no takedowns. He just wanted to meet you right in the middle and just let it unfold.
I think it's awesome to hear. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. We'll make a gentleman's agreement right now. I'm on my side. Don't worry. I'm not going to shoot. I promise.
There you go. You heard it here. What were the words? You heard it on Sunday from Chris Kane. No TDs. And I'll be looking because I'll be commentating. So trust me, the gentleman's agreement is now written. It is now so. So all you fans out there, get ready, man, because this is going to be one. Oh, man. It's going to be one hell of a co-main event. Like I said, just as easily could have been the main event fight at Club Label, man. Corbry, we know it's been almost a year since you fought. We know that you're hungry. I also know that you have, you know, a lot of aspirations, and there's a lot of people that are really looking at you. What I wanted to ask about that was, does that – you're so comfortable, like we just spoke about, talking to me through the cage and your long experience of being a pioneer of the sport, does that, them having them eyes on you, does that add an intimidation factor, or is that to get you more fired up to perform?
It just gets me more focused, man. It lets me know, and you can see by, you know, I've got a pretty good streak going. I'm not about the decision anymore. I'm not fighting for decisions. We are fighting for finishes from now on. So either I'm going to die trying to finish my opponent, or, you know, I'm going to get my finish. And that's what I feel I have to show these guys. They have to see me, you know, getting these guys out of there, and that's what I intend to do.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great mentality. I love that ability to perform well under pressure. Some people were born to perform at peak under pressure, and you seem like one of those guys, man. Doesn't matter what's stacked up, doesn't matter what's there, you're down, you're game, you're walking in, let's shut the door, let's do this dang thing. And I think that there's a lot of respect that goes there, and not only that you do that for yourself, but you've managed to find a way to pass along your approach, mentality, experience, philosophies about fighting to another group of people that are younger than you. You know, we see that same thing in you
and
your students.
Definitely. And my thing, man, is that I just do what my coaches did for me, man. I've got the best coaches on the planet, bar none. I've got the best jiu-jitsu coach in the world. I've got the best Muay Thai coach in the world. And my boxing coaches are some of the best in the world. So what they've given me, I'm just giving it to my students in the same way, the same mind state that it takes to do this. I mean, this is not an easy game. This is not something you can just play with. This is something, I mean, people die doing what we do. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you got to take it seriously. You got to treat it, you know, you got to go out there prepared. And, you know, I try to give that to my students and because that's what was given to me. And, you know, I want to represent my lineage and my coaches. I want them to know that what they've given to me is being given to the next generation the exact same way. I want them to see themselves in my students.
Wow, that's heavy. It's like retaining the purity of it, you know, in its passage.
No doubt.
Tons of respect to that. And you're exactly right about this sport. You know, I think some of the guys that, you know, a lot of fighters that I interview, and this is no disrespect to anyone, but I interview a lot of fighters that say, oh, they'll, you know, you got to kill me in the cage. It's do or die. But, you know, they go in there, they turtle up, they do some things that are opposite of that. That's no disrespect out there. But you're definitely not one of these guys. And, you know, do or die is very real. And I think that is part of that piece. People say that it factor, the guys that legitimately feel in themselves where it gets to a point where it stops being a fight in the cage and it literally becomes fight or flight in a way.
And
you perform, you excel. You are able to put yourself in almost a primal situation of where you believe it for that moment. And I think it takes a lot of fighters a long time to get there.
For sure. And, you know, I was lucky. My dad got me involved in this a long time ago. So I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I started my first boxing class when I was 8 years old and started competing as a kid. It's given me that level of comfort. You know, it's always been a part of my life. I mean, you have a lot of people that say, hey, you know, I will die. He'll have to kill me to win. You know, they're not about that life. They're not. I know they're not. I've had those guys say that, and I've had them give up. You know what I'm saying? It takes a certain person. You know, I have a lot of students that are soldiers here. I love my guys. But they said the closest that they've gotten to being out on the battlefield with bullets whizzing by their head is being in the cage. They say it's so the adrenaline rush that you get from it is so close to fighting. And I can imagine it, man. You got another guy that his goal is to detach you from consciousness. That's his goal, all right? So there's no other feeling of going to war with another person in a locked cage. You can't jump the cage. You're a kid there. So either you're going to give up, you're going to quit, you're going to tap out, or you're going to go in there and you're going to fight until either you or him are gone. And, you know, that's crazy. I've got a lot of my guys with PTSD that their therapy is doing this, man. And I'm blessed to be able to help these guys, man. I think it's pretty awesome.
I couldn't agree more, and again, applaud that, your ability to pass that along. And then just as a general rule, I love the way that martial arts, gyms, I know a ton of people fighting too, that despite what people look at it, some people look at it as this negative thing, but it saves lives. I personally know people that would be in jail, on the streets, doing all kinds of ridiculous stuff if they weren't involved in such a good community like martial arts.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, listen, neither one of my parents graduated from college. I didn't grow up in the best situation ever. But the one thing my dad did do was put me in a program, put me in, you know, get me attracted to martial arts, and it taught me how to set goals, how to follow through, how to fight and die for your goals. And man, it changed my life in every perspective. It helped me understand that I can get anything I want, as long as I want it and I'm willing to do the work, you know. That mind frame, that what you get from martial arts carries over to every part of your life. If people understood that, you know, I think they could be a little more successful, and I think more parents will get their kids in martial arts because it'll change the way you think and the way you attack life. It's completely different.
And, you know, I've seen it 100 times over, and I absolutely could not agree more, man. As far as March 10th, man, we are. This is officially interesting Tuesday. It is now officially Fight Week, man. I got one last question for you, and that is, if you could leave an impression on these fans walking out of Club Label on March 10th after these fights, what do you want that to be, man?
Well, I think they're going to see my plan anytime I fight is for them to see that I am one of the most technically sound fighters to ever do this. And I'm going to continue to show that. And I'm definitely going to show it on Tuesday when me and Chris Kane step into the cage. They lock that door, and they're going to show I plan to run a clinic and show that I'm one of the most technically sound guys in this game. So just keep your eyes open because it could be short. Especially if he's serious about,
the gentleman's agreement. Oh, believe, and you can believe me. You know me, man. You know I will go immediately from this show to make that official.
Please do. Gentleman's agreement.
Yes, sir. That's it, man. Listen, Mushin, I always appreciate your time. Like you said, I know you have every moment of your day planned out, so I'm very grateful that you took time to pencil me into your day. Looking forward to this fight. Definitely looking forward to being in the NC for the first time, man. Very blessed to be part of the MMA family, and we thank you so much for coming on the show today, man.
No problem, man. No problem. And let me give a shout-out real quick to all of my guys here at Champions Training Center helping me prepare, to my coach Manu and Toe giving me the tools that I need to be one of the best strikers in the game, to my coach Lloyd Irvin for the amazing jiu-jitsu that he's passed on to me and that I plan to use if the gentleman's agreement fails. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you in this epic co-main event on Tuesday and all the action. Again, thank you so much, and have a great day. And give Savannah some love for me, man. I miss it.
Definitely will, brother. Take care.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. Moose and Corby, again, if you have not been following along, man, Conflict 25 goes down next Tuesday, Club Label, Charlotte, North Carolina, man, March 10th. It's going to be an epic battle, and guess what? I believe we just got a gentleman's agreement on some toe-to-toe, no takedown, all stand-up action in your co-main event. And as your buddy here in the Southeast, I will make sure to do everything that I can to make sure that this goes down as planned, because after all, it was Mr. Kane who threw the idea out there first. So we'll give him a little message later today, keep you updated on that. As far as myself, and my co-host who was busy today, Mr. Kobe Wall, also tons of respect out. Again, CTC, Moose and Corby, man. We will be back tomorrow, I believe, with Shane Crenshaw. Until that time, War of the Words, man, number 84. We are out of here. Y'all have a great day and a great lunch.